Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ernest Maddox of the Point of Light Christian Center and Dr. E. Maddox Ministries. We welcome you from around the world to this broadcast relative and pertinent to the Word of God. We encourage you to call a friend and have them to call in at 646-716-8530 so they can listen on their phones, or go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Maddox. That's DrMaddox. We are here every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to encourage you to go to the bookstore, the ministry bookstore, www.DREMADDOX.org. We have a blessing there for you, all kinds of training materials, videos, MP3s that you can benefit from relative to the Word of God. There are three books that we have now: Impact of a Deliverance Prayer, Apostolic Manifesto, and Weapons of Our Warfare. Now, for a period of time, if you purchase Apostolic Manifesto and Weapons of Our Warfare, the book Impact of a Deliverance Prayer will be given free of charge. So I would encourage you to go to the website right now. You can reach us at Dr. E. Maddox Ministry via phone at 248-796-8523, the Point of Light Christian Center, 248-423-9289. We just want to take a moment to ask God to bless us as we move into the Word of God. I know that you will be blessed. So our great Father in heaven, we thank you now for the word that you are about to deliver over these airwaves. All of you be blessed, be delivered, and be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Now we will bring that Word of God to you. Amen.
I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
He's an author of at least three books, and I believe he has three earned doctor's degree, not just degree, earned doctors, earned, yeah, he worked for these earned degrees, and he's my friend, he is my brother, amen, he is my check and balance, so when I think about getting off, he knows how to get me back on. And if he's getting off, I know how to get him back on track. And that's the love and the fellowship that we have. Would you put your hands together for my friend, my brother, Apostle Ernest Maddox? Amen.
Look, before you sit down, amen, let's just go before the throne of God. Again, we've already been there, but we just in prayer, because I need to know that what God wants to do today is going to be done today in the words that I share today, right now. Our great and mighty Father in heaven, our brother and Lord Yeshua, we thank you for this house, for the leaders of this house, for all the servant leaders in this house. Let your word come forth now, according to your will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. You know what? It's been a journey since Apostle said, look, I want you to come over. And any time there's assignment that has galactic impact, there's going to be a spiritual challenge, a spiritual distraction, an attempt at spiritual sabotage. Amen. But before I move any further, I want to thank Apostle Pastor Linnell Caldwell and Evangelist Pastor Carol Caldwell. Amen. For sharing their venue with us. My lovely wife, Barbara, who I thought would not be here this morning. As we were preparing, as I was sharing with the Caldwell, she began to bleed from her nose. She doesn't have nosebleeds. So I had to come on before her, and one of my daughters picked her up. So I said, well, honey, I'll go up in front of you. Went to look for my keys. My keys have not been found yet. Amen. So I have to look for them later. So my lovely daughter, Lindsay, was able to bring me. Amen. Now, when you've been married for almost 39 years, and the enemy touches your mate, he can get your attention real quick. But I'm from the old school of you don't touch my family. So he didn't do himself any good. He had a problem before. But I see some old schoolers in here. You understand this term. I'll kill a brick. Some of you young schoolers may not understand that. Amen. I just want to thank my grandchildren for being here. Stand up, grandchildren. I have 9, as just a few of them, young warriors in the Lord. You know what their favorite song is by James Brown? You know their favorite secular song? Papa Don't Take No Mess. They got it on us. Amen. Again, God bless you all. Thank you. Thank you, our listening audience around the world. Because this is First Baptist World Changers International Ministry. So I'm not out of place by saying hello to the world. Amen. And God bless you all. Here's what I want to talk about today. And for those of you who like titles, this title of this message is, Who Told You That? Who told you that? You know, something just came to mind. Is Denise Benman here today? I don't see her. Amen. But I just want to let you know that me and her go back a long way. We were baptized in the same water. Amen. And her father was my mentor. So if I mess up today, it's his fault. Praise the Lord. But I just wanted to say hi to her. Who told you that? The things that you believe and the things that you embrace, the things that you walk in, the things that you articulate, orate, state, perform, exemplify, justify, promulgate, initiate. Let me break it down. The things you do. Amen. Who told you that? I was listening to the clip that the apostle was on, and actually I was here for that message. Who told people that it was okay to take prayer out of the school? Who told them that? Who told individuals that it was okay for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman? Who told individuals that it was okay to celebrate an Easter bunny that represents Astar, translated Easter, a fertility god whose sacraments were bunny rabbits and eggs? Who told people that Jesus Christ had anything to do with a bunny who doesn't even lay eggs to begin with? Who told you that? That it was fine. And I love my president, but he's wrong on that subject of what is legitimate and legal marriage. What is amazing to me is is that we have Republicans and Democrats. And I don't want to offend anyone who may be a Republican or a Democrat. I just happen to be a theocrat. So we can work together. You got your platform. The Republicans have their platform. The Democrats have theirs. A donkey and elephant. Well, I mean, am I not? Aren't they representations? Donkeys and elephants? If I'm wrong, help me. Well, the representation of my political party, and I believe yours, is Jesus Christ. So when it comes to somebody telling me what to do, am I going to listen to a donkey, an elephant, or Jesus Christ? Real simple to me. It's real basic. You know, I have 3 doctorates, 2 masters, and a bachelor's. And I don't need any of them to figure this out. In fact, I knew this long before I got any degree. Now, before you think I'm some pedantic, intellectual, silver spoon brother, let me just give you a little history. Dope dealer, gangbanger. That's all I need to say. With a 6th grade education. And all I still have is a formal 6th grade education. I earned 3 doctorates and 2 masters based on a GED. Now, you may say, well, what has that got to do with the message? Everything. Because man told me I was learning disabled. I was special ed. Amen? That I was destined to be nothing and nobody. God called me via a murderer. I wasn't called by a pastor, didn't lead me to Christ, not a TV broadcast, not a radio station, but a murderer, a convicted murderer, who preached the gospel to me because he didn't want to follow God. And he said, you're a fool just like I am. So I'm turning you over to God. Lord, here's a fool you can have instead of me. Now, I know some of you saying, what, he's saying that for drama and humor. No, I'm telling you the truth. He had already killed one person and asked God to let him out of jail. He'd find somebody that God could have so God could leave him alone. How do I know he was a murderer? Because he went and killed 2 more people and did another 20 years, got out, killed someone else, and did another 15. So he was a murderer 3 times. That's how I know. You should know them by their fruit. Praise the Lord. Well, we're not praising the Lord for that, but praise the Lord. Amen. So my point is this. I learned before I learned. Did you hear what I just said? I learned before I learned that there are certain people you must listen to, and certain people you shouldn't. I had church people telling me, you too dumb. Why are you going to school? The world is coming to an end. Why would an idiot spend time in school and then the world come to an end and you'll be an idiot? But the Holy Spirit said to me, go to school. How do I know it was God? Because he told me to get on a bus with a bus ticket with no way home. I got off at the closest college, enrolled, and an elderly lady came out of the office and paid my tuition. I have to share this with you because if I move into the message without it, you're going to not understand my intensity. I don't care what a man says. I simply don't. God can turn an idiot into a genius. How do I know? Amen? Who told you that? As you well know, in the book of Genesis, amen, the third chapter, well, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, God created the heaven and the earth, and I just want to plug this. You know, we have this androgynous spirit going around. You can't tell a man from the woman and a woman from the man. And you know, I caught myself looking one day. This is before I was married. I'm not stupid. This is before I was married. And I was on the bus and I was riding the bus. I said, man. And that dude turned around. He had on hot pants. Hot pants, a little halter top, and Jerry curls down to his back. I threw up on the bus. I never thought that I was like that. How could you be tricked like that? I found out later, it's an androgynous spirit. What does the word androgynous mean? Hard to tell or distinguish between the sexes. A confusion about gender. In Genesis, the first chapter, doesn't the word say it? You can turn there and read it if you want to. But a lot of the Bible is up here, so I'm going to come from there. Then God said he created them male and female. Male and female, he created them. Why would God emphasize that? Because he wanted to make sure it was no androgynous confusion. He said, I created distinct sexes. Distinct. You should be able to look at a man and determine that's a man right away. Now we have to check with people. I'm going to make up a name because I don't want to call nobody's name in here. Rufina? You don't have to ask Rufina, were you born a woman? Back in Noah's day, in Moses' day, you didn't have to ask that question. But today you do. And Rufina can be looking real good physically, but you got to check. Let me see Adam's apple. And were you born a woman? God did not create confusion. Your Bible says he's not the author of it. Amen? In the book of Genesis, in the third chapter, in the second chapter, there were some instructions given, right? You can eat of every tree. Let's say there are 100 trees. God virtually said you can eat from 99 of them. Now, we don't know what the number is. I'm just using this for illustration. You can eat from 99 trees, just leave that one alone. And what did we do? Who told you that? Who told you when God says this is okay and that isn't? Who told you that the isn't is okay? You needn't even bother to check out the other 99. At least there's no record of it. What we see there is that when you have abundance before you, you focus in on limited opportunities. Y'all better hear what I'm saying here. And we've been doing it ever since. God says, I set before you, Deuteronomy, blah, 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 Z. Take blah, blah, blah. We go to blah, blah, Z. Who told us that? Who is telling you that? Who is saying to you that it's okay? Who's telling you that Apostle Caldwell and Evangelist Caldwell don't know what they're talking about? Who's telling you that? And I'm not saying you in particular, and then I might be saying you in particular. Since I don't know you in particular, I don't know if it's particularly you or not. See, amen. I don't know, but I can't avoid it because it might be. And I'm not saying it because it is. Because it might be. Y'all don't know whether to be mad at me or like me now, do you? Was he? Did he? You asking somebody next to you, did he just say something about me? In Genesis, the third chapter, somebody came along. We call him the serpent of old. Do you know what the word serpent means in Hebrew? Enchanter, smooth talker, seducer. Put it in modern vernacular, Pretty Boy Floyd. Singing like Barry White. I was getting ready to say, but acting like Luther Vandross. Well, I'm going to leave that alone. Amen. Whoops, there it is. But in any event, somebody, you know, when they do this on the streets, that means they gangstered up. Satan eases into the garden, starts a conversation with Eve, and Eve is dialoguing. And in your Bible it says, when it was over, she gave to her husband with her. Now, let me ask you something. I'm going to do something here. Just give me a minute. This is Caldwell.
Watch it, Doc.
That's what Adam should have done. That's what he should have done. I didn't have to go to him and say, Pastor Caldwell, I want to do this little thing here, and when I go over to Evangelist Caldwell, your wife, then you say something. No, he didn't know that. And he didn't think I was going to say anything wrong. But guess what? Watch it, Doc. You know, me and you like this. But if you don't want to be like this, you better watch it, Doc. That's what Adam should have done. I don't know of any man on the planet, unless he hates his wife, gonna let somebody step to his wife. I don't care what the conversation is. Wait a minute. Come on now. Let's be for real. And not only approach, but spit error against my God and my leadership. And I'm going to sit there. You know, I'm just trying, you know, God says love everybody. And I'm showing Satan love. You show Satan this. Y'all didn't see that. So because Satan didn't get checked, Adam didn't say, watch it, Doc. And see, that's all he had to say. My little skit fell to the wayside. And I was just going to do a skit, but I forgot about that. The brother said, watch it, Doc, and my mind said, move on. Now, you need to understand something. When God questioned, and this is in your book in Genesis, you know, I could read it, and there's some text we are going to read, because we ain't not even to the critical point. I'm not even at the point of why I'm preaching this message. This is just a precursor. So you understand. But when God was looking for Adam, first left his place when he didn't defend his wife. So he was out of place. God was looking for a defender and the head of the household. So God looked in that spot where the head of the household should be. Adam wasn't there. So he asked the proverbial question. Where are you? He knew where he was. In Genesis, the second chapter, the last two verses, go there. And you will see there, they were naked and not ashamed. Do you see that? Everybody read the last two verses together. Start in the second to last verse and read the last two verses. Go ahead. You see that? They were not ashamed. But when God saw that Adam wasn't in his spot as the head and the leader, you know who he saw there? When God looked in the spot that he put Adam in, when he looked to see if Adam was there because he wanted to chat with him, he saw Satan. And then immediately he wanted to know where Adam was. And what did Adam say in Genesis, the third chapter? Well, see, I was naked. We were naked, and we were ashamed, and we hid ourselves. Didn't we just read? They were naked and not ashamed. And God asked that proverbial question. What was it? What was it? Who told you that? Where did you get that from? I had you in the Garden of Eden. And now you standing in poison ivy hiding and scratching. Hiding and scratching. You ever notice when you ask people questions sometimes, pastors, and when you ask them a question, say, well, how are you doing? How's the marriage going? Y'all didn't know people were paying attention to that. You didn't know it was folks like me watching that. Make me think you've been in the poison ivy. Make me think you're hiding something. Why you got this? Ain't nothing there. Oh, Why? And I'm not saying there's some kind of spiritual sign. I'm just saying it's interesting that we. And what did Adam do? He didn't say, Lord, I made a mistake. I should have dealt with Satan. Do you know what would have happened then? God would have forgave him. How do I know that? How can I prove that? Genesis 4th chapter. When Cain didn't do what he was supposed to do, God came to him and said, look, son, if you do well, I will receive you. Just make the change. Because if you don't, sin is at your door. That's how I know God would have forgave him. It's in your word. Adam wasn't repentant, neither was Cain. Where do you think Cain got it from? Cain blamed God for not accepting his offering, and Adam blamed God for his problems. He took on Adam's trait. Now, I can mess with that a little bit, but it was environmental. It was not his DNA trait. That's a whole nother message. But my point is this. God said, who told you that? Because, see, you won't find Cain in Adam's lineage. But everywhere else in the Bible, I don't care what the son did, you always found him in the lineage, but not Cain. I'm going to say one word, Nephilim, and then I'm going to move on. Cain was the first Nephilim. Goliath was a Nephilim. Just so you can, what happened as a result of who said what? God said, if you do, you in that day, you will surely die. Satan said, if you do what I say in that day, thou shalt not surely die. There are many theologians to this very day believe Satan was right. Because you know what they say? Adam didn't die in that day. He didn't die that day. A day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as a day. Did Adam live to be 1,000 years old? He didn't, did he? He did die in that day. Oh, come on. He did die. Day. Man will live is in the millennium. That 1,000-year reign of Christ, those who obey God, will live the first day. Oh, y'all, you need to understand how critical this is, because the enemy is sending out messages, and we need to be asking, who told you that? To yourself. You need to have a conversation with yourself. Who told you that? Rufina? And you know the counter to Rufina is Rufus. Ain't nobody named Rufus, right? Nobody. And if Rufus ever come to join the church, don't look at him with a jaundiced eye, okay? We'll just go with another name. Never could Negro. The reality of our spiritual fight is a battle of words. Why is that significant? Turn to John 1:1. See, this thing is so interconnected, so revelatory, and so basic. We know Christ is the Word. It's a battle of words, of the word against a non-word. John 1:1. In the beginning, what was the who? And the word was? And the word was? is a battle of words from the beginning. What hovered in Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2? The Word, the Spirit. Just like you all are hovering right now over a society of darkness, and God is commanding you to speak light. You are more significant than you know. That's why who you hear, who told you that, is significant. Because it will change the world. You're not called world changers for no reason. Yes, there are a lot of Christians, a lot of churches, and we all have mandates. But when a man or a woman is given a vision, I was given the point of light, P-O-I-N-T-E. People organize in New Testament empowerment of light. If you can continue to read, you'll see that Jesus Christ was the light and the life of the world. If you're here and you're part of this ministry, you don't have a choice. What do you mean? I know I can do what I want to do. I can quit and go to another ministry. What do you mean I don't have a choice? You can go anywhere you want to. Your mandate is going to follow you. You go ahead and pull a Jonah. It's all right. Your mandate will follow you into the belly of the fish. And when you get regurgitated, you're still going to have to do what you told and then get mad and die under a sprout somewhere. Oh, it got quiet. It got real quiet. Now, this has nothing to do with me. What are you trying to do? I was planning on leaving. What are you trying to do, curse me? No, I'm not. It got nothing to do with me. You are planted here to hear a certain gospel. At a certain level. And you think you're not going to be accountable for that? Jesus. I know I'm accountable for just showing up here and hearing this man preach. Well, you're an apostle too? Yes. Apostle ain't nothing but a disciple still learning. Once you know it all, once you got it all, and you got it all in a little box, ready to ship it by FedEx, ask yourself, who told you that? That's what you better do. So as a result of who Adam listened to, and get this again, Eve was not cursed. I know there's a popular teaching that Eve was cursed with childbirth and she was cursed to be up under the man. That wasn't a cursing. That was a restoration. Step away from up under authority and God just said, I'm putting you back. Not a curse. A correction. Curse didn't come on Eve because of what Eve did. Read your Bible. The curse was levied when God went to Adam after Adam put everything on God. You notice God didn't even talk to him anymore. I'll see you later. He talked to Eve, restored Eve, restored her position. Then he went to the man and said, because you heeded the voice of who heeded the voice of Satan. That ain't in the Bible. Yes, it is. It's just unstated. Amen? Did I ask Apostle Caldwell, did he love his wife before I walked over to her? It's unstated. And if I didn't know it before then, watch it, Doc. When you translate it, I love you, brother. But if you say the wrong thing to my wife, I might have to get jiggy with you. Now you say he didn't say that. I say he did. For him who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, because Adam allowed his wife to be put in a compromised position, God restored her and checked him, told him, you can get out. And see, a lot of parents have a problem with putting disobedient children out. But God not only put out his children, his firstborns, but he put a security guard on the gate. And he put Big Bubba on the refrigerator. Then he put something on the tree of life. He said, first, we're going to make sure they don't get back in. But if they crawl up under the fence, put the angel with the sword so they can't get to the refrigerator. Oops. What am I saying? You should not feed your children when they're hungry. I didn't say that. Take them to a restaurant. Make sure they eat a good meal, that they don't buy liquor, crack, or cigarettes, or they don't rent a hotel room for Rufina. See, I know I might have slipped into two real zone. That's reality. God still loved them. And he provided them with a means. He gave Adam a shovel. See, I know it's going to be hard, but you made that decision. It's my ground and my shovel. I'm still looking out for you. Now, for some of y'all to think, but God was cruel. Let me tell you something. Adam and Eve, even being punished, left the Garden of Eden with mink coats. Some of y'all wonder what I just said. Didn't he clothe them with animal skin? Well, what is a mink coat? He sent them away with mink, dressed to the teeth. But they had to leave. So if you've got to put your children out in a winter, make sure they got boots, a coat, a good hat, some gloves, and bus fare to the day labor center so they can work that daily job, passing out those handbills so they can understand. Because this other stuff we're using, who told you that? Who told you? Well, you know, if you spank your children, it's going to cause adverse reaction and a replication of their behavior, dubiously so, connected to the articulated Twinkie eating, will cause behaviors leading to conflicts with the society at large. So therefore, when your child cuts you out, give them a timeout. Say, go over there, Rufina, Rufus, go sit over there for 10 minutes. and then come eat your steak for dinner? No. God said, beat them with the rod. Who told you that? That was okay. That is all right. Because you know your daughter's 12 years old now, to let her go spend the night over Uncle Buck's, whose best friend just got out of the penitentiary. He's a sex offender. And he brought Do Dirty with him, who was convicted of molesting a 5-year-old girl. But since your cousin is all right with you and you don't want them to feel bad, it's your Christian duty to put your child in danger. Who told you that? Well, you know, I want to get along and show them Christian love. A pedophile joined my church. Loved him. He wanted to be over the youth group. I said, eeny, meeny, miny, no. Not because I didn't love him. Not because God had not forgiven him. But because I don't want him to be tempted. And I don't want me to be tempted. Amen. So I was really looking out for me. I didn't want to relapse into any pre-Christian behavior. See, now I understand the 9 gifts of the Spirit and the 9 fruits of the Spirit. But before Christ, all I understood was the 9 millimeters. So we have to use wisdom, and we have to ask ourselves, what is God saying? And I like to say, the old folks, my mama used to tell me, I'd be running back there with something, mama, 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 brrr, mama, brrr. And my mama would look at me and say, who dad say that? Think about it. Who really said that, son? And what did they say? Well, mama, see, they know everything. And they told me I didn't have to eat beans because that's all you be cooking. And how come we can't have some chicken? Mama said, who told you that? Well, Rufina, they have chicken all the time. And sometimes they even have hamburger. I'm sick of these beans. My mama said, come here, son. Come to me. So back there, she said. And I'm thinking my mama gonna do something good. My mama broke a plate over my head. Pling, ling, ling. Nowadays, we call that child abuse. I call it redirecting. See, so every now and then, when you run up on God with that nonsense, amen, God will call you not into him. Pling, ling, ling. Some of us know about that. And then he'll ask you, who told you that? Now, we're laughing, and that's okay. But the reality is, we got to be on guard every day. When you're sitting up under a teaching where you are hearing the word of God, you have a history of who told you that. Amen. Let's use this environment as an example. When the man or woman of God gets up before you here, and I'm talking about the man or woman of God of this house, you know who is saying what, because it's coming out of the word of God. So you know who told you that. It wasn't Anel O'Carroll, if I could say that. It was God speaking through them. You know why? Because they're asking every second of the day. And I know this because I know what level of preaching comes out of this house, and I know where you got to be to do that. So every second of the day, you're correcting your direction. God, what about this, Lord? What about that? What do I need to say about this? What do I need to say about that? They're like torpedoes. Do you know when a torpedo is fired, keeps correcting its course until in the last 50 or so feet, it locks in? That's what they do. They're constantly correcting their course. And when they lock in, when God says, this is it, then they explode with the word. And you can trace it, you can know it, because you can go right here as they're coming. And you can disagree with them and be mad at them. And then you say, but they're right. Boy, I'm mad because they're right. Won't he just move away from the word a little bit so I can be justified? So you know what happens when you can't reconcile that? Huh? What happens? You leave. You can't reconcile that, you leave. Because there are not enough mistakes being made. That's some, but ain't enough. You need more than that. Because even when they make them, they go back to the word and correct themselves. Who told them that? God. This is critical. Because who you hear, what you follow, what you do has global impact. Turn to 1 Kings, amen. I want to show you something here in the Word of God that's going to, I believe, everything that you've heard me say, it is just going to crystallize it in your own mind so clearly, amen. My God. And I know that a lot of times we say, well, They're not the only ones God is talking to. God talks to all of us, and he does. He talks to everybody in this room. But as far as leadership of this ministry, he only talks to through two people. To everybody through two. Let me say that again. To everyone, through two. And in your house, God talks to everybody, you and your kids and your wife, but husband, he mainly talks through you. Amen? Do we understand that concept? To everyone, through a few. How do you know which view? Who's leading the house? Who's head of the house? Oh, I know the argument. What if they're not listening to God? What if these people are not really servants of God? And then God spoke to me. Well, if he spoke to you, then he told you to leave. Then you know what you do? You leave, and you don't stay and cause disruption. Oh, hear me. And I'm not saying that's anyone here. I'm saying this is a global principle. What do you say in your house when your children tell you, I want the new Jordans, and you gonna buy them? I want Comcast cable with all 9,000 channels, and you gonna get it. And I don't agree with you, Dad. I've been listening to you all my life. I'm 7 years old now. And every Friday, Mama fix you steak when I want a hamburger. And I'm letting you know I'm not in agreement. And I'm not going to flush the toilet again until I get my way. And y'all going, where that? But some people try that on you, and it's tantamount to that. What do? You start packing their stuff for them. Amen? It's okay to disagree, but your disagreement with me cannot cause disruption. Okay, amen. 1 Kings 13. And I guarantee you, this is going to blow your mind. It still blows mine. That we can get in a place, amen, and miss it. Praise God. It says here, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it? This man of God came out of Bethel by the what? And he stood by, who is this? Who is Jeroboam? King. Follow me here. And he cried out against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, thou saith the Lord, or thus says the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places and burn incense upon thee and men's bones upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon you. What does that sound like to you? God just sent a prophet to deal with the king of Israel. I believe he was the king of Israel. And said, this is what's going to happen. He said, a man of God with the word of God to check someone who was in error. Okay? Now, the king took exception to that. And he gave him a sign that same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent and the ashes that upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand toward the altar, saying, lay hold on him and his hand which he put forth, what? Against him dried up. So he said, look, snatch him up. Let's do him. In here talking that nonsense. Don't he know who I am? Truly a man of God, correct? A servant of God. God's backing him up. And we go on here in verse 6. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat me now that the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again, and that the man of God besought the Lord. He prayed for him. And the king's hand was what? Again, this is a servant of God, correct? And God is backing him up. Stay with me. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Now, wait a minute. The man of God has done the word of God, serving God. God has manifested, and the king is grateful, isn't he? He said, my brother, you need to come on and have some barbecue. If you don't like barbecue, chicken, fish, you know, if you're into Mexican food, we hook that up too. But just, you've shown me some wonderful things, and you need to come with me. Listen now. But listen to this, what the man of God said. He says, for so was it charged me by the word of God. By whose word? Saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou came. God said, no. He's selling it. God told me not to do this. And according to this, the next verse, it says not to do it. So he went another way and returned by the way which he came to Bethel. So he was in obedience. Amen? Oh, but you're about to see something interesting about who told you that. Listen to this. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him everything. I'm not going to read it word for word because I want to get right to the point. In verse 12, he wanted to know which way the man went, correct? In verse 13, he said, saddle me up a donkey. There we go with that political thing again. I couldn't help it. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under the oak. And he said, art thou the man of God that comes out of Judah? Amen. And what did he say? Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. Now, isn't this the same thing the king asked? But what did he tell the king? Come on now, stay with me. He said, for it was said unto me by the word of the Lord. He knew who said it. Thou shalt not eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again to go into the way thou comest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. My God, let me tell you something. You see what's happening here? God performed miracles. He was able to say, I can't do this. To the king. somebody came to him and said, I'm a prophet, and then who stuck on my foot? Who is that? Get that rascal off that. Trying to start something. Somebody came to him with a third-person word. Oh, hear me. An angel told me that the Lord said. Let me just say this right now. Don't get mad at the pastors, because God told you something to tell them and they don't jump on it. Amen. Don't be upset with them, because if this individual had did what he was supposed to do the first place, because this individual said, I heard from an angel that heard from God. What angel was that? Was it the same one in the garden? That said, I know God, and he knows as soon as you do this, you're going to be smart. You're going to be beautiful. You're going to be over Adam. And God and Adam ain't going to be able to push you around, Eve, because you'll be just as powerful as they are. There's a whole theocracy to that. Amen? Amen? I want you all to read from there together what happened. Go ahead. Read out loud. Listen. Uh-huh. Now I'm going to stop you right there. You see something real interesting. The legitimate word of God came upon the lying prophet. Now the lying prophet got to tell the truth, saying, since you came back with me, I know I lied to you, but you're going to die anyway. The liar was forced to tell the truth. Did y'all? Who told you that? We have to be careful. Once you go to that word and you know what the instructions are, somebody you don't know or you might know saying they heard from Lucifina. And I know what God told you, he's going to kill you if you do this, but wait a minute. But if you come eat with me, you know, if you just have sex with me, you know, I'm a deacon in the church. It's all right for us to have Bible study at Motel 6. Who told you that? Oh, okay, let me go back over here. Now, when I first understood this, I wanted to feel sorry for the man of God. You know what God told me? He said, why are you feeling sorry for him? I talk to him more directly than I talk to you. And you move on faith. And I haven't showed you, I didn't show you what I showed him. And you believe me. You don't let nobody come to you and tell you nothing because they got a title. So why are you feeling sorry for this guy? I want you to read what happened to him. Go ahead. Yes. Well, let me stop here. Don't it sound strange to you that he didn't get up at that moment and leave and ask God to forgive him? He sat there. And you know, people get that attitude. Well, it's too late now. I'm going to die anyway. I might as well go ahead and see him. How many times have you heard that? I done slept with him once. I might as well keep on sleeping with him. What's the difference? 12, twice, three times? Thrift. What's one sin as opposed to 30? If God going to show me grace, he's going to show me grace for all 30. Who told you that? Now go ahead and finish what happened to him. Yes. Go ahead, read it out. a lion met him in the way. That's you see what happened? A lion seeketh who he may destroy. But if you resist the devil, Satan shall flee from you. Amen? And you resist the devil one way is not listening to anything but the word of God and preachers who preach the word of God, even when it doesn't make you happy. You need to always ask yourself at all times, amen? You need to always be focused on the word of God. You need to always be clear. Because if you read on, and I won't take time to do it, I want you to do it. You finish that chapter out, something very interesting happens. King Jeroboam didn't repent, and the nation went into terrible persecution and trial. You know why? Because the man of God didn't follow through, and he listened to another voice that caused the whole nation of Israel, because after Jeroboam, think about it. You laying in the desert stinking with a donkey and a lion next to you. So everything you did now and everything I saw through you is false. So I'm not going to repent. Why? You're laying out in the desert stinking. Is your life stinking in the desert? After you done shared the word of God and corrected someone? Because you let somebody tell you something and take you off of your assignment, so whatever it was did not live. It died with you. It died with your failure. And a lot of us are wondering why our visions are coming true. Because we didn't stick to what we heard. We got full of ourselves, and we wanted to be in camaraderie. I believe this man of God just wanted his another person that serves God, and he heard from an angel who heard from God. That's good enough for me. Why do you just check with God? You got a direct line to him. Why do you just check? But again, you're looking at that one tree and forgot about the other 99. Forgetting about your relationship and what you already have, looking for a relationship based on nothing. I hope, my prayer is that somebody heard me. Amen. And you need to constantly ask yourself, where is your information coming from? And if somebody bringing something to you, you ask them, who told you that? And if they start stuttering, then you need to say what Apostle Cardwell, Linnell Cardwell said to me. Watch yourself, Doc. Thank you, Apostle. I am finished. Amen. Wow. Wow.
Oh, come on. Put your hands together one more time. That was, wow. Good. Now you have to help me. Please tell my new membership class, we have not talked, period.
We don't discuss.
They're going to swim it down. Yeah. Everything you taught this morning, we said this morning, did we?
No. Me and this man did not collaborate. This wasn't a conspiracy. This was the word of God from God.
And what you need to say to yourself, since you heard it twice today, then I think it should be clear in your mind. Who told you that?
Man, this morning, you were on point with a lot of issues this morning. I'm telling you, it was awesome to hear God. I'm telling you, embrace this. Cherish this. I love it when God moves like this to confirm his word on the inside of us. Now, when you get a word like that, now here's what's getting ready to happen. Somebody's getting ready to talk to you that you should not be listening to. So that's why God gives us ahead of time, give us warning ahead of time, so that you can have a check in your spirit that when somebody comes to you and it doesn't line up with the word of God, you can identify, watch that individual. And I'm like this. I like marking them. Say, I don't hide. You know, when someone tells me something, here's what I always say. Can I use your name? See, don't tell me nothing, and I can't say Sister So-and-so said it. Because when I ask you who told you that, you better tell me who said it, or I'm going to think it's you. Because, you know, we do these little stories now. Somebody said. No, who said it? Who told you? Because I want to know. There's someone who, that's why I said, the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness without, lest a root of bitterness spring up and defile many. See, everybody ain't happy around here, but there may be someone that's a little bitter because they can't have their way. So they start talking, contaminating others. And you need to put a red flag up there and say, excuse me, who told you that? And identify it. Come on, one more time. This is, man, thanks, man. Man, this was good. Father, we give you praise and honor this morning for how you always love us, protect us, and give us word in advance that will lead us and keep us on the right path. And Father, if we missed it in any way, in form or fashion, if we sinned any way, if we did something that did not line up with you, we are not prideful. We saw an example of a king that did not repent, a prophet that did not repent. We're not prideful like that. So what we're going to do, Father, search our hearts. And if you find anything that's in us that does not line up with your word, we've done something, said something, forgive us our sins. That your righteousness may continue to flow and your grace may continue to flow in our lives. Because we know the truth. And the truth that we know will set us free. The different voices that communicate in our mind that does not line up with the word of God and with the leadership of this house. Hallelujah. Forgive us for not following instructions. We shall live and not die. And we shall declare the works of the Lord. Bless the man of God. Bless his wife right now in the name of Jesus.